Auckland things, I fear.
We really know, all know each other.
Yeah, it's a bit scary. First of all, I just wanted to ask you, what does yo-yoda mean? Because I was a little bit confused.
I did just make up a word, so that's totally fair enough.
Oh, it's not a word.
No, no. And I had to check before I decided to call the album that it wasn't like a word in another language that was inappropriate. You know, that was a big fear of mine.
Yeah.
It's you're on your own this time again. It's the first letter of that.
Oh.
That's like the kind of the title track of the album.
Oh. I feel like I could have worked that out.
I thought it was too bold to go with like an 8-letter title kind of. And then I said yo-yoda and I was like, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue quite nicely.
Although people have been saying yo-yota.
Oh yeah, I did just say yo-yota. So yo-yota.
No, you said it with the New Zealand accent though, which is fine. But because we don't really say tees.
Yeah.
Sometimes people say, like in England, some people
very
say,
posh.
Yo-yota.
Yo-yota. Yo-yota. Also, the album cover, who did your art?
I did that with, actually in the basement of my flat when I was still living in New Zealand, with Damon McCabe, or his music project is Jack Berry, but he does lots of graphic design stuff. We literally got a big blue sheet and hung it up behind me and then took lots of photos and then just zoomed in and he did some magic on it. And then I pricked holes in it with a pin to do the title.
Oh, right. That's so cool. It doesn't look like practically made, but that's cool that it is. What? And you have like a running horse motif throughout the visuals of the album. I was just wondering, like, what that kind of means for you. Like, why horses?
It's really funny because before this project, I actually had a very mild phobia of horses. So it's definitely not like a... It's not like a horse girl.
She's not a horse girl.
I've ridden one since I was about 4 and I got thrown off one.
That's kind of valid, though.
But I really wanted like a symbol that represented the album. Like I wanted something that when people saw it, they thought of this project and of me, I guess.
Right.
And I was thinking about what could represent like the key themes of the album. And I landed on the horse because I felt like it, I don't know. A lot of the themes are about like finding freedom and being lost and like moving on and moving forward. And I feel like that running horse is just a really nice, I don't know, nice symbol of that.
Yeah, I did write themes of the album are kind of about like moving on and like being lost and confused when you're like in your 20s. And also there's a lot of love songs on there and it's quite confessional. I was wondering, how does this like make you feel writing and singing about that period of your life, still being in it? Like, how has that helped you?
Well, this album was really important for me because I talk a lot about something that I've never written about before that was probably the biggest part of my life, or one of the biggest parts over the last few years, which was my dad going to jail when I was 18. It was like such a huge event for me, and I just never wrote about it because I was like, oh my God, I was just like, who's going to relate to that? Who's going to like want to listen to a song about that? And then I found myself independent very suddenly, / I got dropped is the more honest way of saying.
Yeah.
And I was back home at my mum's house and my best mate Oscar came to visit me. And I was kind of like, I kind of thought I'd never be able to afford to put music out again, which is stupid, but like
But a reality, unfortunately.
Yeah, like it is really expensive and I'd had a full team around me from when I was 16 and I just couldn't figure out how I was going to do it now that I didn't have the label behind me.
Right.
And Oscar arrived and he said, well, you don't have to like make music to put it out. You can just make it because it's fun and you like doing it, which is what I needed to hear, I guess.
Yeah.
And to hear. And so I started writing what I should have been writing about this whole time, which is my relationship with my dad and what had happened to me in the last few years.
Right.
Naturally, it all started flowing out. I started writing about, I guess, how that's affected my relationships to my friends and how it's affected my, I guess, habits and my contributed to that feeling of being a bit lost.
Yeah, I feel like the like deeply kind of personal confessional elements of your album really come through. I had just some specific questions about the songs. My personal favorite track of the album is Devotion. It's got like obviously this gorgeous organ part and you've got all your vocals layered in like a choral way, and I was wondering if that the kind of biblical allusions are intentional.
weirdly, when we first started working on that song, we had no idea what it was going to sound like. We kind of did like this weird, well, not weird, but it was so cool. It was like a disco version, and it was like really fun because I was listening to
it. I actually cannot imagine that.
I know, it's crazy when you hear the song now, but it kind of worked. Like, it had that, it has a bit of like an ABBA melody in there that, right, like, just hard to imagine with the version now, but it actually worked really well. But then I was listening to it and I was like, it's just too, it's too much. And I think if there's one thing I've learned in the last couple of years is a lot of the time you need to do less, not more, with your songs, like when you come to recording them. So I was kind of tidying up the end of the album in the studio a couple of months later, and Tom Brim, whose studio we used, had, I can't remember what it was, but it was like a proper, he had a proper organ in there. Like, and I recorded it properly on that and added a little bit of like a synth pad in the back, and then just sang the two parts as like one take. So I sang like the main vocal, and then I sang what was supposed to be like a BB, I guess, behind it. And then we just tried boosting them to the same level, and it actually worked really well. It's almost like a duet with myself.
Yeah, no, that definitely comes through. It's such a gorgeous song. I actually can't get over that it started as like a disco. Also, just what kind of music were you listening to when creating this album, and how has that kind of influenced your sound?
I think for this project, what I was listening to didn't actually influence the sound of it too much because there were so many musicians making it with me, like so many really talented people making it with me, that we didn't have like really hard like sound references. That might sound a bit strange, but I just think sometimes it's just who you're with. So I'd weirdly say the main references would be Oscar Lang, who produced the record and is an amazing musician on his own.
He did Bandits with you, right?
Yeah, he's incredible. He's one of the best writers I know. And then Reuben Scott, or Saltwater Criminals is his music project. He played like guitar, drums, and is incredible. And then Damon Jack Berry did a lot of bass on it as well and was kind of present for a lot of the recording.
Do you think this album is a real collaborative project of yours? Or
it only happened because of the people I made it with, and that was one of my favorite parts of the record, was the fact that it wouldn't exist unless I, you know, had been around the people I was around at that time, who just really cared about me and about the songs and wanted to give something to the record, you know. Like, I don't know, I'm just very lucky, basically, to have very talented friends.
That's so cool. What is it like? Because obviously a lot of your collaborators, like, you know, the Kiwis, you made the album here.
Yeah.
What's it like kind of taking that out of the New Zealand context and over to the UK?
I was really nervous, I think. Like, it's pretty punishing over here, like, just to survive, let alone, like, the industry. You know, like, it's a very expensive place and it's very competitive within the music industry. And I had low expectations, basically, but I'm currently in the middle of a tour.
Yeah, that's crazy. How's that been? What's like the live reception of the album been?
So much better than I thought. Like, I kind of expected no one to show up because I've done some UK shows before, like outside of London. London's always good, but like outside of it, it's always been a bit, you never know if people are going to come to see you. Like, there's been a lot of support shows and I've been talked over, and I don't know, I had low hopes, but it's been honestly incredible. Like, I just, you know, we haven't sold out all the shows, but I've had full rooms and people just know all the words to the album already.
Yeah,
and
that's so exciting.
I have to like meet me, and I get to like meet all these people that, I don't know, I just never think about the fact that people actually listen to my music. Like, you see numbers, but you just forget that it's actual people telling me that they were connected to the songs and how they apply them to their own lives. And it just, I almost cried one night, had a beer, one beer too many, and I was like, thank you. This like sweet old man came up to me and he asked me to sign a poster, and I was like,
oh, that's so cute. I actually was talking to some of my friends over the weekend about how art intertwines with your life and kind of mingles and makes it something new. And I know you just said that you kind of forget that other people are listening to the album, but does that play on your mind when you're doing the writing of an album?
I try not to think about that as much as I can. That side of it's beautiful, but I think once you start thinking about the audience too much, you also start thinking about the bad part of, you know, what if people get bored of this, but, and it was this bit like not catchy enough, and what if this doesn't do well on TikTok, and like all of that sort of stuff. For a while I thought way too much about that, and I got the worst writer's block ever for like a year and a half. And this album is the thing that kind of freed me from it, because like I said, I thought I wasn't going to be putting it out. As a writer, you can do your best work when you're just making it for your own ears and not thinking about how people receive it. And that's a beautiful thing once it's out, that people can connect to it and apply it to their own lives. But for the making part, I think it's important to just forget about everyone but you, I guess.
Yeah. So you set out to write this album because this is your debut. Obviously, you've released EPs, but this is the first full-length album.
I don't know. I think I wanted to make... Because I had Slack, which was, you know, 8 songs. It's kind of on the cusp of being an album.
Yeah.
I didn't make it to be an album, you know? Like, right. I love all the songs, but it's always just been songs, and then I've kind of put them together and put them out. I've never really got to make something with, like, the whole thing in mind.
It reads as an album, though, even though, in obviously, in your mind, it's you wrote it as, like, songs to put together instead of a whole concept.
My songs are like diary entries, and a lot of people say that, but like, especially at that age when I was like, a lot of those songs I wrote when I was probably 18, 19. Like, I'm 23 now.
Okay.
Slack I wrote when I was like 18, 19. So I think all the songs, even if I didn't make them with a theme in mind, they still kind of fit together because it's all about what I was experiencing at that age, you know?
Oh, gorgeous. Physically at all?
I actually am. I'm just about to announce it, but I'll just say now because why not? But Zach Emerson of LA Woman is working for a company that for the first time ever is making records to order.
No way.
I think it is absolutely huge for the music industry. I think it's for independent artists especially, and for people who are just starting out, I think will absolutely change the game.
That's incredible. What the hell?
So exciting. I think a lot of all the musicians I know actually are really discouraged about the state of the industry right now. But this is what we need, you know, because people, you know, vinyl sales have gone up and stuff over the last few years.
Yeah.
But the cost to make them up front is just astronomical, and you need label support to do it.
Totally.
So for this company to come along and, you know, make it happen is pretty crazy. So I'm doing my this record with them.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It's very exciting. It's going to be going live very soon. So anyone's interested?
I'm interested.
That's for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny because one of my best friends who I hadn't like spoken to in 8 years, when we started becoming friends again over this past year, I went to her house and Slack was on her record player. And I was like, no way.
I forget that I made a vinyl of that and that some people have it. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, very cool.
I don't even own
You don't even own a copy?
No.
Crazy.
I don't know why. I think I had one, but I gave it to my mom.
That's so cute. One more thing that I just wanted to ask you about. You opened for Del Water Gap.
Oh, king.
That's so cool.
He is like the nicest people I've ever met in my life.
Right.
Not kidding. I played Primavera, and we were on like this acoustic stage together, and I met him then briefly. And then he was doing some Australian shows, and I went over and did those solo. But him and his band are just like the sweetest, loveliest people ever. Because sometimes you open for artists and they're kind of, you know, they're nice. I've never had like a bad experience opening for someone, luckily. But actually, that's a lie, but I'm not going to get into it. But most of the time, you know, they'll just like be polite and say hello and say good set and stuff, even though they probably won't watch it, and then go back to their green room. And that's fine because it's, you know, a privilege to open for cool artists and stuff. But he was just lovely. He hung out with me heaps, and because I was there alone, and they kind of took me in and were my friends for a couple of days. And like, I don't know, they were just really, really, really cool.
That's so cool and exciting.
And obviously amazing musicians as well.
Oh, so totally. Cool. I saw that and I was like, wow, dream collab. Those two are like, I love his new album and everything. It's so good.
Oh, so incredible.
Yeah.
Can do no wrong.
Oh, I had a music recommendation because you're talking about openers, but Opener by Wallace, the opener.
Let me pull my notes out of pop so I can write it down. I actually opened for her as well.
Oh, insane.
One thing about me, I have opened for like so many of my favorite musicians. It's like, I always, when I thought my career was dead and then I wasn't going to put out music again, I was like, well, at least I have opened for like a bunch of my favorite musicians and free gigs, you know?
Because you gig a lot.
It's the best bit. Less nowadays because it is just so expensive and I'm paying for it myself and it's just like astronomically
That's hard. So sad. I feel like the best part about music is seeing bands live, especially even bands you've never seen before, and you go and then it's just the best time and you have a new favorite band and that's just so fun.
Yeah, I think it'll hopefully, I don't know why I think this, but I feel like it's going to get easier. I feel like people like going to live music again and like supporting the bands that they like and buying the merch and buying the records and stuff now more than ever. So hopefully if that continues and it continues for me, then I'll get to do more gigs.
Totally.
But I'm doing it less a little bit nowadays because I don't know.
It's like harder in London than here, or?
I think it's hard everywhere, but it's definitely more expensive to tour the UK and Europe than it is to tour New Zealand, Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe slightly poor because I just know people in New Zealand, Australia, around the place. I don't know, just in general at the moment, it's really, and post-Brexit as well over here, you've got to get visas for everybody. Don't even get me started on the States. That's crazy.
Your album's incredible. Everyone should go listen to it.
I forgot we were doing an interview for a little bit.
I know, same.
We're just hanging out.
Oh, no, sorry. I lied. One more question. Are you going to come back and tour the album at all, or?
I am going to try to come back around December, January, I think. That is my goal.
Ah! Exciting. So Ooh. Excited to hear it live.
I'll put you on guest list.
Oh, stop! Rah! I'd be honoured. No joke.
Shift over.
You can cluck out.